Welcome, listening friend, to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's June 26, 2013. Shout-outs go to Dwayne Berkey, Karen Harrison, Christine Zuckerman, and Larry Budget Tours. We had problems on Monday and Tuesday with backup batteries faulting, and the things plugged into them then no longer work, so we were off the air a few times. Dwayne was out at the tower, I think, four different times resetting things. And finally, after yesterday's morning program, I joined Dwayne at the tower, and we got a backup battery replaced and everything running smoothly. Thank you, God, for that. A few days ago, I recorded Kurt Hawthorne over the phone about the Burwash Bash that's come into the First Baptist Church of Champaign in Savoy. Here's what he had to say.
Thanks, Mark, for this wonderful opportunity to share with the Great News listening family a great event we're planning called the Burwash Bash. It's a great event open to people of all ages, and it's totally free. It's a celebration for our community, for anyone that's listening, and it's a chance to connect with each other. It starts on Thursday with our daily vacation Bible school. It goes from 9 until noon, and we're talking all about serving. It's called God's Backyard Bible Camp. And there's going to be games and fun and food and crafts and lots of serving because we're helping kids learn about serving. And so we want to help serve in our community. So Vacation Bible School on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday is 9 until noon. You can register your son or daughter for Vacation Bible School, God's Backyard Bible Camp, by going to our website, fbc-cs.org. That's fbc-cs.org. Now, on Friday night, we're going to have a stage that we build in the side yard of the church, and we're going to have Black Ridge Road Bluegrass Band and our own high school students going to do some fun stuff out there. There's going to be light snacks, balloon artists, and kid games. It's going to be fun for the whole family. And everything on Friday is free. And Saturday, the fun gets even more crazy. It starts at 3 p.m. We'll have a 32-foot climbing wall. Don't worry, parents. It's safe. 32-foot climbing wall. Three people can climb on there at a time. An obstacle course, a bounce house, kid games, face painting, and there'll be a light meal because you're going to work up an appetite, and there'll be ice cream and cookies. And on stage at 7, we'll have the King Family Bluegrass Band, and it's going to be great. And that, too, is all free. It's our kind of gift to the community. And there'll be lots of chances to connect with one another. Lots of ways to get to know your neighbors. But wait, there's even more. There's Sunday. On Sunday, we're inviting our friends, inviting our families, inviting our neighbors to a service of celebration and worship. It all begins at 8:30 a.m. with a free pancake breakfast. And that includes regular pancakes, but also gluten-free pancakes and sugar-free syrup. There'll be a combined service of worship and celebration starting at 9:30 a.m., where we'll have our Vacation Bible School kids back up on stage, helping lead some songs and hand motions. We'll also have a slideshow celebrating all the things that we did with the Burwash Bash. So once again, I want to invite you to be a part of the Burwash Bash. That could be the God's Backyard Bible Camp from 9 to noon, Thursday through Saturday, or it could be the Friday night event with the Black Ridge Bluegrass Band, or the Saturday night King Family Band and the 32-foot climbing wall, the obstacle course, all the fun stuff. And remember, it's all free. It's our gift to the community. We want to help people get connected. And it's all capped off with a free pancake breakfast Sunday morning and a celebration video. And it's all being held at the First Baptist Church at Savoy, 1602 Prospect at Burwash Avenue in Savoy. For more information, go to our website. It's fbc-cs.org. That, again, is fbc-cs.org. Thanks, Mark, for this opportunity to talk to the Great News Radio listeners. And this is really our heart in this. We want to have opportunities for people to connect, to begin friendships, to begin relationships. And through that, they'll come to know one another, but also to know more about God, to lead to spiritual growth. For kids, that's helping them to serve their family, serve their friends, serve their neighbors, serve their community, but serve Jesus. And for adults, we want them to get to connect to one another so that they can begin to come to know more about Jesus and grow in Him.
That was Kurt Hawthorne with the First Baptist Church of Champaign in Savoy. What a great guy. The event begins tomorrow morning, so find out more by going to fbc-cs.org. Also, tomorrow, the Merge Gospel. We're excited about that. And thank you, God, for the Texas Roadhouse.
Mm.
They're going to do like 120 little peanut bags. They're going to staple free appetizer coupons to all the bags. I think they're going to have some potato skin appetizers for everyone. I think they're going to give me a few $25 gift certificates that I can raffle off at the event or somehow give away. And then Pepsi's going to come on board with some of their Pepsi products. We'll have the Columbia Street Roastery coffees and teas and some other special treats.
It's worth it just for that.
Yeah, so if you've not joined us before, it's never too late. I got 5 more Merge Gospel books I ordered up just in case some new people will join us, so we'll have those available. And each of the studies are unique and different, so you can join us anytime. And I think we still have 5 more sessions to gather, 5 or 6.
Yeah, and you know, it's really important to understand that it may only take 10 minutes at one session for God's Word to radically change your life, for God's Word to open a door up to you that may bring the gospel to you in a whole different light, a way that you've never heard it before. So don't discount. Don't say, well, you know what, I can't go to all of them. Come to sit in one of them. Purchase a book. Enjoy the fellowship. Enjoy the teaching. Allow God to work in your heart. If you can come to more than one, then come to 2, come to 3. Come to as many as you can. But don't feel the legalistic guilt like, oh no, if I can't go to all, I might as well not go to any. Because God can use the most minute moment to change your life radically. So don't shirk an opportunity to get with God's people and God's Word and God's Spirit and be radically changed by that. So we would love to have you. And by the way, I think this week I'm the teacher, so obviously we are going into the parables. And so the parables really on their own stand. So you could come at any point during the next couple weeks, and you'll be in certain parables. And while the parables are all intimately connected throughout the contextual story of the Gospels, you can stand on them together.
And the coming weeks that we meet this Thursday, always the second and fourth Thursday of every month. So we'll be meeting tomorrow, the 27th, and then July 11th. And tomorrow, as we've learned about breaking bread together, I always try to have some kind of snack or food or something that those that come early. We start right at 6:30 the study, or right around 6:30. I try to start right on then. A couple times we've had testimonies or special people come in. But from 6 to 6:30 is the time. If you get there early, we'll have the Texas Roadhouse being our featured sponsor this week. And then in a few more weeks, on July 11th, Ryan's Steakhouse is going to provide a whole variety of different foods. And I'm working with them to have a special Great News Radio night where everyone can go to that restaurant and get discounted food, and we can have some fun there. And I'm working on some other things. Then I hope down the road to have a pizza restaurant. You know, we got to have pizza.
Yeah,
got to have pizza for one of our Merge Gospel events. So come break bread together with us tomorrow night. The doors open by 6 o'clock. A number of us are there. That's when we'll have the food ready to be served. Oh, with the Texas Roadhouse, also those big rolls and that honey butter. Oh, that's worth coming just for those. So that'll be from 6 to 6:30, and then I'll open up the evening right at 6:30, introduce Jason, and we'll go right into a good time of fellowship and teaching and studying God's Word. So if you want to join us, call. That would be helpful so we can make sure we have a Merge Gospel book for you. Our phone number is 217-367-7777. That's 217-367-7777.
And maybe you've been attending the Merge Gospels and you've been going along, and this is a good reminder for you, and there's somebody in your life who you want to get a copy of this book for. Make sure that you call the station also, because I think we want to make sure that we have those available and get those into people's hands. The goal of this study is that you take the book back and you do something with it. Part of it is that you attend the 12 sessions and you learn and you grow and you have revelation through those sessions. But really my heart is that you would take this book and you would do something else with it. You know, we are starting to take our Merge Gospel at home and use it at the dinner table, because it's broken down into these 300 smaller stories. And so just enough that you can do a dinner time devotional. One of the kids could read it. Somebody at the table could read it. And then you could spend just a minute talking about it, or even use it. We did it last night as a point for prayer. Mm-hmm. You know, we took the first account and we used it as a point of prayer. Let's pray through Scripture. So you know, if you need a book, make sure you call the station so we can order. If we need to order some more books, by all means, we'd love to order some more books. That's a good problem to have. So.
And you got some new news from me the other day. At the time, you knew that we were working on a trip for you to teach and facilitate and be a part of in November. I don't think we've announced this over the air yet. People have known and heard the radio spot about an upcoming trip in April, April 22nd through May 3rd, a trip to the Holy Land. But at the time, as I was praying it through and coordinating it, I felt like strongly God had given me a theme, the rest, be still and know that I am God. But I don't think we had talked about how we were going to be doing two trips yet. Well, you and I have been praying that through for some time and are working on brochures and flyers and more information, and actually you're putting together a little prayer packet. Mm-hmm. But we'll have two trips to the Holy Land next year. The first one will be April 22nd through May 3rd, 12 days. And this is one of these lessons that I think God's going to be teaching me and continue to teach me maybe the rest of my life, but about slowing down, building more margins, resting in Him. And because of so many of the trips, it'll be my 27th trip to the Holy Land. But with coordinating so many trips, people always come back overwhelmed, maybe exhausted, filled up beyond what they can even process. And so because of so many people going 2, 3, 5, 7 times with me, and some people asking, Mark, is there a way of slowing it down, maybe less sights, more time to linger and pray and worship and really drink in what God would teach us, and maybe not coming back so hurried, as they say on many trips, we run where Jesus walked. And so I started really thinking about that the day after I returned from my last trip and thought, you know, 12 days would give us more time, and I would include maybe a couple half days, and then we would stay on the Dead Sea, which is a really nice area, and we could have like those half days. And so I've been thinking through the itinerary and praying it up, and really got the confirmation a few days ago that, Jason, I would love to have you be the primary teacher and help facilitate the trip. And I know you've been passionate about it, and you couldn't wait to return yourself. And then you've also been working up, and even God's put on your heart a theme for our November 6th through the 15th. That's going to be a 10-day trip, and that'll be of next year, 2014. And so we'll have information and a packet and an itinerary and all that in the coming days. But I thought maybe we could spend a minute or two, because I know especially that November trip, God was already putting a theme on your heart some months ago and really helping you navigate through what you would like to teach and how you would put together a trip.
Yeah, well, it says in Matthew chapter 7 in the very tail end, it says, when Jesus finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Now, some of your translations don't say amazed. They say that these people were astonished. But continually, people hear Jesus speak, and they're astonished and they're amazed. Well, amazed is like, the Greek word is ekplesso, which means to be struck upside the head. Amazed is like that kind of thing that happens when you're hit and you kind of have that stunned look on your face and you're amazed. You're amazed that this thing happened to you. These people are amazed that they're standing here and hearing Jesus teaching. They're amazed at the power of his teaching. They're amazed at the truth of his teaching. And then there's this word astonished, which really in the original Greek, and going back even the word that would be behind that in the Hebrew, means to displace your current thoughts or to reorder your thinking in the right place. And so that theme that God really laid on my heart was, you have heard it said, but I tell you. Jesus says that continually in the Sermon on the Mount. You have heard it said, but I tell you. And I think as Christians, we have heard it said many times. But when we arrive in the land of Israel, where our friend Gary Crossland likes to say often, the fifth gospel, you suddenly have heard it said, but now you realize that there's more to the story. You know, you've been, as I like to joke around, you've been Illinoised, where you think that everything is flat. Maybe there's a slight roll to the hill and that's it. But you don't realize exactly how Israel is up and down, and really quite a radical up and down. I mean, when it says that the apostles came over the hill of Bethany and they saw the city of Jerusalem, I know a lot of people who say, well, couldn't they have just seen it from a long way off? No, because of the landscape, they would not have seen it till they crested the top of that hill. So you would be looking over and not sure where it's at, and all of a sudden come over that hill and be like, oh, there it is. And so I think that often we have heard it said, but Jesus tells us. And Jesus, when the scripture says that Jesus tells us, God doesn't ever use just one thing to tell us something. God uses his word, but God uses his people, and God uses his spirit, and by his spirit, God uses the wind and the waves, and he uses radio, and he uses TV, and he uses nature, and he uses song, and he uses all kinds of things. How many times for each of you has the truth of God been revealed to you in some way that has been radically different than what you believed even possible? I mean, I've been somewhere where I've watched something that is totally secular and suddenly been hit with a message from God because God is speaking truth into everything. Because if we don't believe that's true, then we limit God. We believe then that God only speaks some places and not everywhere. It's a sovereignty issue. People who tell me all the time, they say, well, you know, that's secular. That's not church. That's not this. You know, we stay away. Look, God is everywhere. God is in those secular things, but in those secular things, he's trying to right the ship. He's trying to bring truth and a sense of maybe justice, a sense of purity to it. You know, when Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, I came to fulfill them. The word fulfill there in the Hebrew has a connotation of purifying. When Jesus said he came to fulfill it, it wasn't necessarily his messianic fulfillment. That's part of it. But the fulfillment was also the purification of the first five books of the Bible, purification of God's commands to his people. And so sometimes I think we get so trapped up, we forget that God is everywhere and in all things. And some things God is celebrating and blessing, and in other places God is fighting like crazy to reconcile those things. Because if God's not doing that, then where's resurrection? You know what I mean? I mean, God is in all things.
Yeah, and you've talked about the secular versus the spiritual.
Yeah, the secular versus the sacred. I mean,
yeah.
I think that with our, Abraham Joshua Heschel says this, with our God-given imagination, we've imagined holy places, holy cities, holy mountains, holy things, instead of realizing that God is holy. Because let's be honest, isn't it so much easier to say, oh, that place is holy, rather than to try and wrap your mind around the transcendent holy God who is outside of time and who is eternal and who through his holiness has been working for all things and all time for you and for me. I mean, that's pretty hard to get our mind around. And so we imagine these other places, I meet God there. No, the opportunity for you to meet God is all day long. You know, I was reading recently, this morning, actually, in my devotional, was a tail end of Ephesians 6, and Paul says this. He says, pray also for me, which is kind of a fascinating thing because I would believe that everybody would probably have wanted Paul to pray for them because Paul was like the rock star. I mean, they're like, you know, oh, Paul, pray for me. Help me, Paul, you know.
If Paul prays for me, then it's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, walking around Israel and you had the T-shirt, Paul prayed for me. You know, I mean, I don't know, bumper stickers for the back of your camel. But you know, you would want Paul to pray for you, okay? I mean, let's just be honest. You'd want John to pray for you. You'd want Peter to pray for you. You'd want any of those guys to pray for you. You'd be like, oh, man, they prayed for me. Just think about the times that your pastor has prayed for you, and you've walked away and gone, oh, thank you, Jesus, that he just prayed for me. Well, you know what? That's the same kind of thing here. But Paul here says, pray for me, which I think people would have been like, you know, what was that movie where we're not worthy, we're not worthy? I mean, I think people would have been like that. We're not worthy. But Paul says, but also pray for me that whenever I open my mouth. So whenever, that's really, that's an easy one. That means anytime Paul opens his mouth. Pray that anytime that when Paul opens his mouth, words may be given to me so that I may fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. You know why Paul is asking for prayer from these people? Is because he doesn't understand. We read Paul and we go, Paul's got it all wired tight. Paul knows the gospel. Paul knows everything about it. Look at the doctrine. Read Romans. I mean, Paul's got it. Paul has no issues concerning his faith. He has no issues in concerning how God works. He has no issues concerning any of that. No, that's wrong. Because Paul here says, pray for me while I make known the mystery of the gospel. He's going, I don't understand this. This side of heaven, this side of the, I don't understand this. I am called to it, and I'm obedient, and I love Jesus, and I've seen his power at work, and but there are things about it I don't understand. And you know what? I think that's okay to say. I really think it's okay to say. I don't understand how God takes the drug addict and brings him to faith, and then through him brings hundreds of other drug addicts to faith. I don't understand how God saves the most heinous of people and uses them for his kingdom. I don't understand it. You know why I don't understand it? Because in my limiting humanity, I've already written them off. And God has not. God has not. You know, you have heard it said, but I tell you. You know, I've heard people say a lot of things, and I've said a lot of things myself. But Jesus sometimes has something entirely different to say. And it has a purity and a truth to it that sometimes I fault on, and we all fault on, because we're human. We're part of this Romans 3:23. You know, when the Bible says we've fallen short, that doesn't mean like some things. That means all things. That means my thoughts are sometimes a bit short. My ambitions are a bit short. That's why the Bible also says that God imagines immeasurably more than I can, because mine are a bit short. And so sometimes I have to say, you know what, I have heard it said, but I think Jesus wants to tell me something. And he wants to tell you something in you. And he wants to tell you something in Israel in 2014.
There you go. In case you were wondering, I had asked Jason some of the passion that God has put into his heart for what he would share during that November trip, and also the trip that we'll be doing in April with the theme, Be Rest and Know That I Am God. But so their November trip, you really want to help people connect with the very words of Jesus, take to heart the things that he is saying.
Yeah, and we're going to look at, I mean, you can't go to the way Israel is, and if you've never been there, you cannot go anywhere and not see the intersection of the New Testament and the Old Testament. But I will be highlighting a lot of New Testament things, a lot of gospel things. We will be spending time in the morning really having some great devotional time, and at the tail end of the day. And if it works out correctly, maybe even there'll be a little worship.
Yeah, there will be worship time. So those are the dates, and we'll have more information about it in the coming days. But the trip to Israel in the spring of 2014 will be April 22nd through May 3rd, 12 days, a much slower itinerary, lots of rest, but lots of good sights.
And that's 3 days at the Dead Sea, right? Which is
two and a half. Yeah,
yeah, which
two
is
nights
really
on the Dead
restful
sea.
And really
yeah, beautiful
great.
Hotels. And there are spas there, and people go there for their beauty treatments, and it's a great hotel. We have three really nice hotels. Actually, the Kibbutz Hotel we'll be staying on in April is at the southern tip of the Sea of Galilee, Ma'agan Holiday Village. I love it. You can walk right into the Sea of Galilee and put your lawn chair there and rest, and we'll have some devotionals there in the morning. And then the November trip is November 6th through the 15th of 2014. So it's over a year away, but so you can plan accordingly. And I will point out, no radio funds go towards these trips. They're all self-support. So any donation that comes to the radio ministry always goes to the radio ministry needs. It doesn't go to the trips to Israel. These are all on their own, put together through those that are going on the trip. So just so you know, no donations ever go towards these trips. But we're excited, and we'd hope you would pray it up and maybe consider entertaining the idea or telling friends around the country, because we'll have some people coming from different states on these trips. And so it could change your life for all eternity and certainly make your scripture reading more interesting and thought-provoking. And you can say, I've been there. I've seen that. I've experienced it in a new way. Well, we're out of time, as our news won't wait. Lord willing, everything's going to work today. And so our switchers and satellite feeds, and we'll have SR News in just a second. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.